and welcome in. It's not the Pioneer Wonder Watchdog. Let's try that again. Cheers and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 117, coming to you from the Pioneer Watchdog Studios, downtown Wheeling here, on an unseasonably warm January afternoon. I had to remember what month it was. It's still January for a couple more days. This will be our final show of January, and we got lots to talk about today. Maybe not as full of an agenda as usual, with football basically coming to an end. We have one game remaining. The Super Bowl is all set. Chiefs and Eagles here a week from this Sunday, so we'll talk plenty about that. Some of our initial thoughts on that. We'll recap the championship games from this past weekend, talk a little hoops action, talk some golf, hockey, of course, and the round kind of football, my favorite kind of football. We got Champions League action on right now, actually. We got 18 games going on, and maybe what might be the most historic day in world football ever. It may be one of the best days ever to watch soccer across the world, with the Champions League going on, with 18 games all going on at the same exact time. So, pardon me right now if I get excited or yell or scream about anything that's going on the TV, as we're coming out of halftime at most of those matches here. So, keep you apprised of those ones. We don't really have any action from the show on these, because these were games that we played. These games, round 7 was last week, and now this is already round 8. This is the final group stage match of, and it's the group stage. I say it's because it's the entire group, everything. Everybody's grouped together. So, lots on the line here in the UEFA Champions League. We gave you out a couple futures a couple of weeks ago. We'll see how those turn out here in the coming days before they take a little bit of a break and get into knockout round competition in UEFA Champions League for 2025. So, exciting stuff there, no doubt about it. Let's recap the weekend here on the Watchdog. Again, Better's Last Stand, show number 117. Thanks for joining us out here on a Friday evening. Lots going on here at the Watchdog. Be sure and follow the Pine Room Studios and the Watchdog, Watchdog WV, at the on X for all your latest high school basketball coverage here. We got plenty of games going on this week. The guys have been out and about all throughout the Ohio Valley all week long, and we got OVACs coming up here next week, and on. Exciting stuff here on the Watchdog, so thanks for tuning in here to another episode of Better's Last Stand, getting you ready for your week. And let's recap last week. Well, we weren't bad, 25 units. We were up 25 units, but I will say, full transparency, if we don't have a really, really nice winner in tennis, well, we're negative on the week, so it was not one of our better weeks, I will say that, from a week-by-week standpoint. But if you had our Sabalenka and Madison Keys to make the Australian Open final, you didn't even have to worry about who won. Your work was already done at 33-1. So we cashed that one. We cashed Sabalenka. We cashed her to make the final. So a productive Australian Open. But overall, 25-20, we were up for the week. I believe that was right. I may not have added that right, but I think it was. That's correct. 25-20 up for the week, so we'll take it. Again, whenever you're ahead, it's always a good thing. So NFL playoffs, we were 5-6-1 last weekend, 17-18-1 overall, 48-35-1 run over the last month. It's 57% in the NFL, so it's not terrible. 3-2-2 on our NFL sides in totals last weekend. So again, the sides and totals we've been pretty decent on. A couple of tough ones in the player prop markets. Not very good there. College hoops, 3-4. Started out pretty good, but I think we were 3-0. And then, poof, well, that fell apart. NHL, 1-2. These Friday night NHL games are killing me. I've not picked a good one there in a while, so that's been a struggle. Again, Australian Open, 33-1 on Sabalenka and Keys to make the women's final. That was a really nice ticket to have there. Aussie futures, we were 10-10, but we were up 34.45 units. Premier League, first week in a long time where we weren't above 500 in the Premier League, 6-7, but we're still up 4 units with the Justin Kluivert goal. Chris Wood didn't get there, though. Darn, it would have been an even better ticket there if we could have got Wood to cash, too. But Kluivert cashes for Bournemouth, and Everton also with a nice win for us, too, at plus price. Bournemouth also wins easily at a plus price. So we had some good ones there, and again, we're up 4 units. So that's the good thing about soccer. You get some good value on these bets, and like I say all the time, I'm not giving you a minus $11 favorite. I'm not giving you a $5 favorite. About the most that I'm going to give you is a minus 150, 160. I don't even like giving out anything higher than that. There's just not any value on it, and I know people overuse that term value time and time again, and people get annoyed with it, and it's like, tired hearing about value, but just put it in this perspective. If you lose one of those games in a minus $5 or something like that, you have to recoup. You have to win five more times without losing to be able to get back to where you were. So it just makes zero sense to me. There is so many opportunities out there in various markets to take short prices and take not overwhelming favorites. Take prices that are very short favorites. Take short favorites or dogs. I mean, that's what we try to do here on this show. We're not giving you out things that are... I don't think we've given out many that were even above $2. Maybe some of the BTTSs or things like that that you can round robin and things like that. But we don't ever recommend monstrous favorites here, and I'm never going to. I just don't believe in doing that, and I think you're just asking to be behind when you play big favorites like that. So we're going to continue on here in Bettors Live Standard, giving you good value plays, but fair plays. We're not trying to have plays that are going to set you behind. You know, some people can't play for large amounts of money. Most people can't. So why would we waste five units on a team that's only going to get us one back when we can find another team that's going to only be a one-unit risk and still get us the same one back? You got to think it through. You got to be able to pay attention, and you got to find your spots. And it's not always going to be – there's not always going to be a game on the card. We were talking about this the other day amongst our Pine Room group here in the Watchdog studio about some days you're just going to have to sit it out. Like, some days you're going to look at games across different sports and you're going to say, there's nothing here for me. And you got to be wise enough to walk away. And I wish that I was as wise as what I'm saying right here all the time too, because it gets the best of me. So you're not alone in that. Nonetheless, recapping again, about 25.20 units up on the week with the nice 33-1 shot in the Australian Open. EPL, we are 61-36-2 over the last month, 62%. That is the average, and we are 47.2 units ahead, which is really, really, really good. So hopefully, again, we were 6-7 this week, but we were up 4 units, and we'll take that. So if you're just sticking with us for EPL, you're doing pretty well over the last month for sure. Champions League, we were 3-3-1 last Wednesday while we were taping the show. We were up 0.75 units, so just barely breaking even there. No pending action today. I didn't give out any of these plays. No, I got to be honest, this is the first time this has ever been done before, and I did have a couple strong opinions, and I probably should have given them out, but I didn't feel comfortable doing it quite yet because I just don't know how this is going to turn out here today. You got 18 matches going on at one time, and I had an opinion on, a strong opinion, I'd say, on probably 6 or 7 of them, and then I had a decent opinion on probably about 15 of them, and I don't want to just give out decent opinions. I probably could have given you out my best bets. But again, I don't know how these clubs are going to react. Some of them have tough domestic games on the weekend. I don't know how important being in the top 8 is going to be. I'm assuming it's going to be important for these teams. That was a little bit easier to figure than the teams who are already in, and will they even try? Like, if you're in the top 8, do you care about being 3rd or 6th? Does that matter to you? Because there's still got to be a whole round of games played before you even find out who you're going to play. So I don't know. This is an experimental year for the Champions League. It's very, very neat, though. I'm a big fan. All I ever do, not just me, but a lot of people, humans by nature, is we are cynical, and we're irritated, and we're always telling you what's wrong with things and how this is stupid and that's stupid and blah, blah. And I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. But I will say, UEFA Champions League, I think they got this right. I really like this format. It's pretty cool. And this makes for a very exciting day, and I think the knockout stages are going to be very good. So hats off to them. UEFA has not been a group that has done things right many times, but I think they got this one right. I think they got it right. So anyway, moving on, golf. We were abysmal in golf. Probably part of the reason we were so bad overall in the week wasn't all the other sports. It was golf. Boy, oh boy, I need to find some form here in golf because I am bad. My short game's bad. My driving's bad. My mid-range is bad. My putting's bad. Everything's bad. 0-7-1. I don't even know if it's possible to be 0-7-1 in golf. I mean, we literally had 6 guys, I think, miss the cut last week. A pathetic performance. So apologies for that one. You just don't know. We got Pebble Beach. We'll talk about that one there. I don't know if anybody would want to take my picks. Pegasus World Cup was down at Gulfstream. White Abario, who's been a pretty much dominating horse on the fast track down at Gulfstream since he was a 3-year-old, and continues to take down some big purses. He gets the lead at the top of the stretch and outduels a couple of other horses and just kind of runs away with it. So not a winner there for us. I thought Wade Barrio maybe would be a horse that would be on the pace and fade a little bit, so I didn't use him. But it was a $24 ticket. I posted one. It was $32, but it ended up being some scratches, so it went down to $24. So that was factored in our losses this week as well. So could have been a lot better if it wasn't for golf, and just the one pick four that I gave out in horse racing was no good. But that's all right. We're not going to stop battling. We'll keep our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and try to battle on here for another week of action. Again, Bettors Last Stand show number 117 here from the Watchdog Studios here downtown Wheeling. Let's talk a little bit of hoops here. Boy, college basketball is getting really interesting to me, and each and every night there's surprises, there's interesting spreads, there's line movement, there's upsets, there's teams that are kind of going through the motions. So, man, you really, really have to pay attention. The matchups, like who matches up with who, especially in conference play. Some of these teams have each other's numbers, and in certain environments are tougher to play in than others. I mean, these are getting identified pretty well here so far. And, boy, some of these leagues, I mean, the SEC on a nightly basis is an incredible league. If you're going on the road in that league and you're able to win anything, like Kentucky the other night, I mean, these are good teams, and the teams that are just in the mid-pack are good. I mean, you got teams like Georgia and, you know, Ole Miss. I mean, I'm going to talk about Ole Miss here in a second, but, like, there's a Texas A&M. I mean, there's a good bunch of Mississippi State's pretty good. I just find this SEC really, really hard, and if you can get a handle on who might win that league, Florida, obviously really good, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama are your big hitters. But, wow, what a league this is. And if you can figure out who's going to win this regular season and who's going to win this conference tournament, then you are a very smart person. It is almost going to be impossible to figure out, because there's going to be teams knocking each other out time and time again here over the next few weeks in the SEC. But the matchups and the situational handicapping is really, really, really the place to be looking at here. If you want to look at your KenPom stuff, that's fine. But you got to find teams who are off good wins and bad losses, or vice versa. Bad wins, even. If a team plays terrible and you know, the other team busts their butt and loses a tough one to a team that's better than them. I mean, there's all kinds of things. To me, there's been no bigger indicator of who might be live on a nightly basis than the situational handicapping. Yes, you got to watch personnel. Yes, you got to look for style and the way that teams match up against each other, especially in conference play, and which gymnasiums or arenas are hard to go into and win and that kind of stuff. But, man, the situations coming off these wins on the road, coming back home, vice versa, there's a lot there, and you got to put them all together before you can find a play. And usually you can find four or five each night where the situation sets up well, the matchup is pretty good, the history is there. You can find them. There's not that many of them. There's four or five a night on with a full card. So be hunting through those. I'll continue to try to get better at it. I haven't given out a whole lot of midweek stuff. Perhaps I will start to do that as I start to get a little bit better at it, or start to heat up, hopefully, or start to figure out what's working for me as a handicapper as we head into the meat of the college basketball season over the next, you know, 6 weeks. It's go time. It'll be right up to March Madness here as soon as we're finished with the Super Bowl. NBA, I don't do much of NBA on here, you know that, but I will give you the top ATS team so far this year in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies are 31-6. Cleveland Cavaliers coming in at 30-16. The Los Angeles Clippers at 29-17. The Oklahoma City Thunder right now the favorites to win it all, 27-16-3. The Houston Rockets, 27-17-1, pretty good team there. Toronto Raptors, 27-18-1 right now. OKC the favorite, followed by Boston, New York, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So long way to go. You never know which teams are going to turn it on. I still think there's some value. Talked about it. Here's that word again, value. I think that maybe you're getting a good price on the Celtics here. If they can kick it in gear come playoff time, they have the best roster. So will they perform again, or will they just be like, we won last year, we really don't care that much? I don't know. You never know how people are going to react. We'll see what Coach Mazzulla can get out of them when they start into the playoffs. All right, golf action here on Bettors Last Stand. Again, I was terrible last week. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Hopefully we make up for it with a 75-1 or something like that, like we did last year when we had a very good run of 4 or 5 weeks where we were up triple figures in golf units. But it's early. It's early. So that's the good thing. And I always say this about, this is why I like NASCAR, golf, horse racing, because I can be bad for 10 straight days, weeks, races, whatever you want to call it, whatever your time interval is. I can be bad for 10 straight, but if I'm good on the 11th one, I offset all the losses that I have on those other 10 and usually will come out ahead. So that's the good thing about these when you have, you know, short-term future wagering, whether it's racing, whether it is golf, whether it is tennis, which we just cashed one for 33-1 there, so there's a perfect example of it. It can offset a lot of losers if you can find just one really good one that you have a good opinion on and you stick with it. So we'll keep trying here. Pebble Beach Pro-Am, this is a popular event. The players all play with some celebrities as well, but obviously they're not counting in the main scoring here. So you got a field of, I believe, 70 guys, so there is no cut. It's a good event to get things going. Scottie Scheffler is now the favorite. He is back on tour for the first time this year. He was tied for sixth there last year. Again, these picks will always be available at BLS_PRP because this won't be out till Friday. This is Friday right now as we're giving these to you. And you're not going to get these for Thursday. So you're not going to have them for yesterday. So I will have you these plays up at BLS_PRP. You can find that each and every week. But recapping just what I did play, Scottie Scheffler, I will not be playing. He's plus 475. He's the favorite. Yeah, he's the best guy in the field. We know that. Colin Morikawa at 14-1, 14th last year here. Not interested, a little bit too short of a price. Wyndham Clark was a defending champion here last year, 45-1, but his game has not been very good. A couple of guys that interested me, Justin Rose, who we played last week, missed the cut. But Rosie's one of them guys that works on things during his play, so you could see massive turns around for him. Like, he can be missed the cut, but he can also be a top 15 the next week or 10. So I'm taking a shot with him. Justin Rose, too good of a player. I think he continues to get his game squared away. So I'll take him at 150-1, win top 10, top 20 for him. Adam Scott at 66-1, like the way he's played here in the past. Jason Day, putting's not quite there yet, but he was sixth here last year, 33-1, so we'll take a shot with him. Thought Matsuyama at 22-1 made a little bit of sense. Tom Hoagie tied for sixth. Lots of people giving out Tom Hoagie this week, so I can't solely take credit for that, but he's always played very well here, so he's always a guy that you look at. It's 75-1. It's worth throwing $5 on him or something. You never know. He was sixth here last year, as I said, and had some very good performances. Taylor Pendrith, another guy, played very well last week. Considered giving him out last week, but I didn't go with him. Would have been nice. I might have had one winner. But Pendrith, a guy this week, 50-1. He's worth taking a shot with, and I know a lot of other places have tipped him as well. So that is our Pebble Beach plays. Again, BLS_PRP. You can find all of those. Switching back over to college basketball before we jump into hockey here real quick. There are some teams that I was interested in only from a standpoint that I thought the price was pretty fair on them to maybe make a little bit of a run here. And it's really hard to gauge here. Right now, and this is very similar to what I'll tell you when I'm picking the Steelers in football, or like, I'm not a fan of this team at all. But right now, if I had to tell you who the best team is that I've seen play so far in college basketball, in men's college basketball, sadly, I would have to say Duke. Now, are they good enough to be able, with a young roster, being able to deal with the rigors of playing all these games tight and win it all? I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's quite possible that maybe the Duke program is better with John Shire as the coach. I just feel like he gets more out of his team. Like, I feel like Coach K just had these guys year after year, and he had all this talent, and he never really did anything with it. So I know that's sacrilegious to all these people that love Duke and love Coach K, but I'm not certain there was many more overrated guys than him. I appreciate his longevity, and yeah, he did a great job recruiting, and he got some all-time great players and things like that, but his guys really, a lot of them didn't do anything in the NBA, and he really squandered a lot of talent at Duke over the years, especially late in his career. So I'm not saying that John Shire's better than him, but it needs to at least be discussed, because they make Kovacic with a huge goal for Manchester City, who must win against Club Bruges to advance, to even have a chance. So my man Kovacic with a very nice one, the Croatian coming through in the clutch. All right, so back to it, college basketball, but I'm back to the point where I was trying to make. Duke, I think, is the best team right now. I think they got the best team, but I don't know. It's a long way to go, and a lot of things can happen. I try to find some areas where, okay, I think this team is at a fair price, or what would it take to get me to bet this? I thought Michigan State at 750 to make the Final Four was pretty good. This is the best Tom Izzo team in a long time. Now, will they falter? Everybody always used to say Izzo's team's turning on in March, and that really hadn't been true for about the last 10 years. I mean, maybe they have a big win here or there. They win one game in a tournament they shouldn't have won, but they really haven't done a whole lot. They were all right, I think, 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year. They lost to Duke and maybe the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, but they really haven't had a team that you could say, like, wow, this team's really good. This year's team's pretty good. I think they're probably the best team in the Big Ten. So I thought Michigan State at plus 750 to make the Final Four, that's a ticket that I'm a little bit interested in. I think that they could definitely be a team if they get a region that's manageable for them. They can make the Final Four. I thought St. John's out of the Big East at 8-1 to make the Final Four. Rick Pitino's got them playing pretty well right now. They're a team that even when they dig holes, they've been able to come back. So that's a sign of that I like to look for in games, or especially in March Madness, towards the end of your conference season and when you are playing in the tournament, is teams that aren't going to fold when they're down. And I think St. John's has proven that they can do that. Difficult league. Can they run the table? I don't know. I want to say it's a difficult league, but it's not an overly difficult league. I think, like, Marquette, they're a little bit phony to me. UConn is definitely not the UConn of the last 2 years, and I think that I would say that St. John's has an opportunity to maybe win the Big East, plus 140 on St. John's and win the Big East regular season. They host Marquette on Tuesday. They're at UConn on February 7th, and then they're at Marquette on March the 8th. If they can win like two of those three games, I think that maybe they're going to have a shot here. I think Rick Pitino's got his team playing pretty well right now. And if he keeps it up and they don't have any injuries, I think they got a shot, plus 140. Thought UConn was interesting at 18-1. Do you think that maybe they could find form? I'm not sure that I believe in that, but if you're a UConn backer and you really think Hurley can get it turned around here really quickly, they control, you know, a lot of their own fate here. They have games against Marquette, of course. They actually play UConn or play St. John's and Marquette. I believe Marquette maybe it might be once, and then they play Creighton again. So they have some games on their schedule that if they would break their way, UConn could be in a spot, but they've dug themselves a hole already with a few losses. So St. John's to me seems the safer play in the Big East. But if you're a UConn backer, by nature, I guess I can't talk you off of it. A couple of teams in the SEC I thought were interesting for Final Four runs. Ole Miss has lost a lot of close games this year. Chris Beard's a really good coach, 25-1 for the Final Four. I know I was on them high last year, and they fizzled out badly. It reminded me of Eric Musselman's Arkansas teams. They can never really do much. And I forgot about Auburn when I was talking about those really good teams in the SEC. I could forget about them. And I thought Georgia. Georgia last night, 25-1 to make the Final Four. Georgia last night against South Carolina, who I don't think is that terrible. Their record isn't that good. They're catching a lot of points. They're finding it very hard to win games in the SEC, but they push Florida to the brink. They've had some good losses, if there's a such thing. South Carolina is a team that I would keep an eye on. I don't know if they'll continue to be able to. They may have just maxed out for what they can do this year, but that would not be a team that I would want to have to play in a critical spot where, you know, I'm bookended between playing Tennessee and Florida, and I got in between that, I got to go to South Carolina. That's a team that could be dangerous on their home floor. They battled really hard last night. I like the way they play. They're not that talented, but they're a team that I think is a dangerous spot. So keep an eye on South Carolina for maybe covering some spreads down the stretch here, maybe playing spoiler for a few teams in the SEC regular season. But Ole Miss at 25-1, Georgia at 25-1 to make the Final Four. Are those likely? I don't know. Mississippi's really well coached, but man, they've lost some tight games. So we'll see if Beard can figure out a way to start to win those, and maybe they can make a little bit of a run. A couple of smaller leagues, actually just one smaller. Conference USA, Jacksonville State plus 325 to win the regular season. Now they have Middle Tennessee, who's the top team, and UTEP, who is in second. Well, Jacksonville State's in third, and they're just a game behind those two. And they play Middle Tennessee and UTEP both at home. They already beat UTEP one time. So I thought, when I looked through the schedule, I thought Jacksonville State had a couple favorable matchups here. If they could win two out of those three games, they got a shot. So if you're interested in small conferences, maybe take a peek at Conference USA and Jacksonville State at plus 325 to win their league in the regular season. These are all regular season that I was talking about there. As, Brest with a goal against Real Madrid. But 40 minutes still remaining in that game. So a long way to go. So again, Michigan State, St. John's, Ole Miss, Georgia were final four teams that I'm pondering. Probably going to make bets on those teams. St. John's to win the Big East at plus 140 and Jacksonville State to win Conference USA at plus 325. So those are some college hoops things we got there for you. Again, BLS underscore PRP, you can find all these. I'll give out other plays that maybe don't make the cut or make it onto the show because of the situation of the schedule and how we tape the show each and every week. Hockey now shifting over here. Better's Last Dance show number 117. Pine Room Studios, Watchdog Studios here with you here on a Watchdog Friday, getting you ready for another action-packed weekend. Maybe not as action-packed as next weekend with the Super Bowl, but nonetheless, you got lots of things going on around the area and sports every which way. You look, hockey, period data here. We go through these all the time. First period overs over the last 10 games. Chicago 9-1. Montreal 7-3. Edmonton 8-2. Goal in the first 10. Chicago and Toronto both on 9-1 runs as PSG goes up 4-0 on Stuttgart. Looks like they're going to be safely into the knockout stage. Back to it. Chicago and Toronto 9-1 run. First goal in the first 10 minutes. And San Jose and St. Louis on an 80% clip, 8-2 over their last 10 games, goal in the first 10 minutes. Second period overs, the Sabres on a 9-1 run, the Buffalo Sabres. Montreal Canadiens, 9-1 run for them. Tampa Bay Lightning, 8-2. Nashville Predators, also 8-2. Those are all over in the second period. There's 1.5 goals in the second period. All those teams on at least an 80% run over their last 10 games. Third period overs, Columbus Blue Jackets, 39-11 on the season, 7-3 run in their last 10, so still holding it together at 70%. As looks like AC Milan has just tied it up against Dynamo Zagreb. It might have been Kristen Pulisic, the United States guy. Yes, it is. AC Milan ties it up. Pulisic with the goal. Pittsburgh Penguins, 39-12 in the third period overs right now. They're playing pretty poor hockey. They sure haven't been scoring any goals themselves in those periods. Must be the other team scoring. 7-3 run for them in the last 10 in the Minnesota Wild. 36-14 on the season. 8-2 run for the Wild. The Nailers still in first place in the North Division. 56 points. They'll be on the road, though, the next four games. But, man, major boost to the lineup here. Jordan Martel's back, and defenseman Isaac Béliveau also rejoining the team this week. So, hopefully those guys will be in action as the Nailers begin a four-game road trip and will be back in action at West Banker Arena on February the 8th against Reading. So, we look forward to that one. All right, so some bad beats. I know a lot of people are going to tell you that the bad beats in the NFL are terrible and the Chiefs cheat and that they're lucky and all this and that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But basketball is one like baseball that can just stab you right in the kidneys when you think that everything's going well. And here you go, a knife right between your ribs. And geez, I know a few people that are on the side of this one. Coach, our Pine Room coach, Dell, he's had a really rough run of bad beats, had some terrible ones in football. We went over last week, and this was another one here the other night. Iowa State, -2.5. I had several people at work come over and express their irritation with Iowa State after this one. Iowa State, -2.5 on the road at Arizona on Monday night. Iowa State up 4 late, missed a couple of free throws down the stretch here, did not help matters. They're leading by 3 with 2.2 seconds. They inbound to Caleb Love, the Arizona guard. He hits a three-quarter court three-pointer to tie the game, and the Wildcats would outscore the Cyclones 15-4 in overtime and win the game 86-75. Oh, if you look that video up, you'll be nauseous if you had Iowa State. Well, I mean, if you did have Iowa State and you just saw it was a loser, don't go watch it because it stings even worse. So that was a tough one there. I get it. If you're a Bills guy or Bills backer, Bills girl, whatever, anybody who's on the Bills, the fourth down play, still never saw a conclusive angle that said he had the first down, probably didn't see one that said he was short, but that's what they ruled it. And if you're going to let it come down to that in Kansas City, you're probably not going to win the game. So I think if you're a Bills person, you probably were wanting a few of the other plays back that you maybe could have made in that game and had a chance to beat the Chiefs there. But we'll see. It goes on, and I know people were very, very frustrated with a lot of that. I'm sure there were some other bad breaks, too, in those games as far as numbers on boards and things like that with crazy decision making, and obviously the Redskins and Eagles game with some of the ups and downs there and the turnovers that you had. If you're a Skins backer, that could be considered a pretty terrible beat, as they were in the game for much of it and just didn't end up mattering. It looks like the score looked a lot worse than it was, and we'll talk about that here when we recap the NFL and get ready for the Super Bowl, at least our preliminary thoughts on that. Industry news and notes here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 117 here on the Watchdog Network on a Friday evening. Hope you're ready for a good weekend. One of the pioneers of the offshore online gambling industry, BetCris. Now, that's BetCris, all one word. They're coming to America, actually. This is an interesting one. BetCris has been somebody that I've been aware of for quite a while. They're going to come into Arizona and enter into the U.S. market. They are a Central American book. They were established in 2006. They're located in San Jose, Costa Rica. They've been serving Latin American customers for a long time. They have apps. They have electronic things. They have kiosks all over multiple countries in Latin America. You have walk-in situations where they're like OTBs or like 7-Elevens that have little BetCris stands in them. So you got about 100 walk-in locations throughout Central America. So they're very, very well-known and very reputable, too. A lot of times you get businesses from those areas of the world and you're like, But BetCris has been around for a long time. They, like I said, they're kind of a pioneer, especially with being first to market. They put up numbers and get the lines up faster than a lot of places, and they have for years. Now, other places have caught on, and obviously Circa does a really good job in Westgate, and they make a point to being the first in Nevada. And a lot of those markets are set across the world based on what other people do, and BetCris was one of those. They've been involved in that for a long time. They were opened really in the 80s under a different name. They've gone by other names in the past, but like I said, 2006 is when they opened up, and they always were one of the first to put up the numbers across many, many markets priced throughout Central America, and been used by professionals as well as recreational bettors throughout the year. So be interested to see what their platform's like here in the United States, and maybe if it comes to these parts, I'll have a shot of downloading the app and seeing what they have to offer. But that was a place that I would always go for information and odds, and especially looking for market moves and things like that. You get a lot of offshore money coming into these places, and you see the moves, and you can kind of forecast how things may turn out for you. So good tool. The more books you have, the more good books you have to use as resources, the better off you will be. A Missouri man was sentenced to 48 months in prison for stealing $650,000 from investors who were part of the Magellan Sports Fund. Now, this is, I've referenced sports consortiums before on here, and they're becoming more and more prevalent, whereas you have analysts and you have financiers. And analysts are your guys who are either running algorithms or they're doing time handicapping, whatever they want to invest in, whoever the investment group wants to put their money behind. It's somebody out there who's wowing investors enough to think that they can make good picks. And you're seeing a lot of this. They spread out across different areas of the world and the country. And in this case, Magellan Sports Fund got taken advantage of, as this person falsely claiming that he was using a sophisticated predictive algorithm that reduced risk. Elijah Goshbert was found guilty of defrauding the investors from the Magellan Sports Fund. So whatever you're in, whatever industry you're in, oh my, Aston Villa goes ahead 3-2 after being in total control, blew a 2-goal lead, now back up 3-2 in a really good one there in London. But back to this, any type of business that you're in, there's always going to be bad actors, and this is another case. Gambling, it's a bad rap because for years you just didn't talk about it. No one really knew about this stuff because it was illegal most places. But across the world, as this continues to grow, and it's been legal across the world for many, many years, but here in the U.S., we just had Nevada. As we continue to expand, you're going to see more and more of this. People are desperate to make a buck. You got investors. They got money. They got capital to put behind you. If you can go in with a presentation, knock it out of the park, and impress them, here they are giving you money. You could just make up stuff. And obviously, this guy did. His predictive algorithm apparently wasn't getting the job done. So I don't know if he was just that terrible or they actually found out that he really didn't even have any type of background or platform that he had told them. Or maybe they asked to see it and he couldn't produce it. I don't know exactly what went down here, but you got to be careful out there in anything, not to be, taken advantage of. There's people trying to commit fraud every which way. But these consortiums, they're a huge thing right now. They manipulate a lot of the market moves. So if you see strange movements in certain markets and certain books, you know, play to these professional type syndicates, you got to be able to see through that. And, you know, you run into this just about everywhere in one way or another, whether you have your hometown people like here in our area, it's all Ohio State, and you know, Steelers haven't been good enough recently, but you just take blind Ohio State money down you know, in Biloxi, you're taking blind New Orleans Saints money, and all different areas of the country are going to have area parts where the hometown teams or the regional team is going to just take whatever the number is. People are betting it no matter what, so those books obviously need to offset that by having money come in on the other side. And sometimes these consortiums will be out there hunting around where, okay, I got the Saints are minus four everywhere else, but down in Biloxi, they're minus one. So I, because, you know, you don't, or I'm sorry, that's the wrong way to say it. The Saints are minus one in Biloxi, and they're minus four everywhere else. So you just see how it goes. No, I just said that wrong again. Did I? Yeah, geez. No, the higher number. My goodness, you wouldn't even know I was in the profession, would you? Yeah, boy, I'm sorry. Down in New Orleans, Biloxi, you would say, okay, Saints open one, they're up to four because that's all they're taking is Saint money. So you would go down there and bet the team that they're playing plus the four. That was what I was trying to say. Sorry for the confusion there. Nonetheless, it just shows you how the hometown teams and fans can manipulate markets, and you find these consortiums trying to come in there, find those good numbers, and cannibalize them, and, you know, That's how they make money. But in this case, Magellan Sports Fund, they are taken advantage of by a guy who faked an algorithm. Just incredible. So be on the lookout for false prophets, snake oil salesmen, anything you want to say. Not going to have any of that here on Bettor's Last Stand, though, as we give you the straight shot. We're not out here promising you anything spectacular. We're just going to give you information and try to guide you along to some winners. The NFL announced last week that it will partner with Responsible Gambling, that's a council, actually, Responsible Gambling Council, in Canada, create a training program for college athletes. Looks like this will start in Canada, but I would imagine this is going to become more and more popular in the United States as gambling continues to be the center of a lot of issues in, you know, but across the sports landscape. Now, I find it funny that the NIL is so prevalent right now. Maybe people won't be as willing to take money for bribes and point shaving because they get some money there, but still could have the issue in the smaller colleges, as we talked about last week with Eastern Michigan. Legal Sports Report forecasts that over $1.5 billion will be wagered on the Super Bowl 59, in the 38 states where wagering is legal in the United States, plus the District of Columbia. Locally, Ohio is forecasted to do about $93.9 million on the Super Bowl alone. PA forecasted at 88.2, West Virginia coming in at 5.47, and then your heavy hitters here, the top four states, New York at 183 million, Nevada 170, New Jersey at 147 million, and Illinois at 104 million. Those are the forecasts from the Legal Sports Report for this week or next weekend's Super Bowl number 59 in Louisiana. Rookie quarterbacks now, Jaden Daniels, the most notable now, or the most recent, now 1-5 ATS, 0-6 straight up in conference championship games. Wow. So rookie quarterbacks and experience proving to be very important in those games. Patrick Mahomes now 9-1 straight up, 9-1 ATS as a playoff dog or a favorite of less than 3 points. He gets the job done once again as he takes down the Bills at home at Arrowhead. The only loss that Mahomes suffered was a 37-31 loss in the 2018 AFC title game to Tom Brady. And I know that people always think that the Chiefs are the very, very fortunate to get calls, but you got to rewind back to that game and the run that New England had up to that. And New England was getting the same criticisms. They got every call. And at one point, I was the same as all of you out there. The Chiefs, they get everything. I was the same way with New England. But then I started to just pay a little bit more attention and realize that they're the team that is always putting themselves in a position to win the game. And if you're going to do that and you're going to have to trust the officials, you're not going to get the job done if you're the underdog team in that situation. You're going to figure that New England's going to find a way around it easier than you. And it happens so often. It happens so often that you would think, oh, man, Brady just cries for a minute and they give him a flag. So please don't think Mahomes is the only guy that has ever had this benefit. If you remember in that 2018 AFC Championship game, the game was over. It was very similar to the call when Nance said that the Bills were going to the Super Bowl in that playoff game a couple of years ago. And then Romo said, oh, no, Jim, there's a flag. Well, if you remember, it was a fourth down play, I believe, in New England, and it was an incomplete pass, and the Chiefs are celebrating, and all of a sudden, here comes a flag, and a personal foul is called on Chris Jones, a really questionable one, and then New England ends up going down and scoring and winning the game. So please don't be so hard on the Chiefs and be unrealistic about this. They are not getting nearly the breaks, I don't think, that New England got in that time, and most of it is because they're great. They're two great teams with two great quarterbacks and two great coaches, and they put themselves in the position to get the W every single time. And I don't see it the way everybody else does. I don't think the Chiefs have gotten as many breaks as you think. A lot of them are self-created breaks, and that's how you win games. Consensus Super Bowl numbers were the Chiefs minus one. That was what they opened at. Went up to minus two quickly, and then back down to 1.5 on Monday, which is where it is right now. Oh, big chance there. And another goal for Inter Milan. But kind of stabilizing there. I keep waiting for some Eagle money to show here. I think it will. Might be a tad early here. I think that your sharp bettors are already on Kansas City, so that's why they're staying a favorite. I think you'll see a pick or better at some of the spots over towards the east, over in the Philadelphia and Atlantic City areas. I think you're going to see tons of Philadelphia money coming in there. So you may see a little bit of a different number over in those parts. Big bet so far, $1.25 million on KC, minus 125 at Caesars, $200,000 on the Eagles' money line at Caesars also. Interesting one there. How about these two? And I was on one of these last year, $550 each on Jake Elliott and Harrison Butker to be the MVPs of the Super Bowl. Both of those would pay out $550,000 on the 1,000-to-1 price there. Now, $22,000. On no safety at minus 1,100 down at the Rampart. Dwayne Colucci posting that one. There's a lot of money coming in right now, and there's going to be more and more here as we post 8, 9, 10 pages of props here today. We did that over at Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack and Sportsbook. Put those out. We'll have more and more of those as the game gets closer. But if you want to go over and grab some papers and take a look, please feel free. Most popular parlay legs from last week, Barkley anytime touchdown, the Bills money line, Skins money line, Josh Allen anytime touchdown, and the Eagles money line. What will be the most popular ones this week? I'm not sure. But I guess it won't be this week. It'll be next week as we get closer to Super Bowl 59 here, heading into this weekend. It'll be a week from Sunday. Exciting stuff. I'm excited to get it over with, I can tell you that. One thing I am excited about is English Premier League soccer. Back at it again. We're on a 61-36-2 run in Premier League, 62%, up 47.2 units over the last month. It's exceptional. I can't believe it. Each week I say that, but we'll keep the run going best we can here on Better's Last Hand, show number 117. From the Watchdog Studios here on a Friday, getting you ready for a big weekend of sporting action. And again, the Watchdog, your home for high school sports from around the area. We did football all football season. We've been doing basketball each and every night with Coach Heinerman and Ross doing games, and Soup and Jarrett and Coach and Cooley and Jubb holding it all together back here at the studio for us. So again, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to all of our sponsors, and thanks to the guys for putting in the layman's work, the yeoman's work, not layman, layman's terms, yeoman's work. Wonderful job by the fellas, and we're happy to be a part of it here at the Watchdog Network, and appreciate you being with us here on Better's Last Stand, show number 117. Let's get into the Premier League this weekend. Fulham at Newcastle. This is Saturday match. Newcastle minus 150, plus 365 on Fulham here. Newcastle's won 6 out of 7 in the series. They're playing tremendous football right now. Newcastle may be one of the better teams in the Premier League right now. They're playing really, really well. I like this game over the 3. If you can find 3, get it before it gets to 3.5. Newcastle, I'd probably play minus 0.75 or minus 1.25. minus 145, minus 150 is fair on the money line, but I would consider maybe thinking they could win this game probably like 3-1, 4-1, something like that. Bournemouth hosting Liverpool. Maybe nobody's harder than Bournemouth. They've been outstanding over the last few weeks. We had them last week. We had Clavert to score. Liverpool just a 145 favorite on the road. That tells you how good Bournemouth has been at plus 340 on the return, plus 320 on the draw. I like Bournemouth or draw at plus 125. That means if Bournemouth wins or ties, you win it. I think both teams will score. Bournemouth has been exceptional scoring lately. I think they will score definitely. Liverpool, obviously, one of the best teams in the world and the best team in the Premier League right now. They will probably certainly score a goal. Last four in this series have went over, so maybe this has the makings of like a 2-2, something like that. It could be an exciting one there at Bournemouth. Southampton at Ipswich. Ipswich, a favorite here, minus 105, 280 on the buyback for Southampton, who is bottom of the table. It's been a really, really rough run for them. Ipswich isn't awful. They have some bad performances, but they've battled some of the better clubs. And I think Ipswich is a team at home will be really, really inspired to get a win here. They need it, too, for relegation purposes. Both teams on three consecutive game losing streaks. 5 out of 6 in this matchup have stayed under. So perhaps a very, very tight nip-and-tuck game. Maybe Southampton's having to go there and get a point. But I don't think points are going to get it there for them. They're going to need to get three here before too long. So I'm going with Ipswich and a possible lean to the under in that one. Leicester at Everton. Everton also playing well. We had them last week in an upset over Brighton. Everton minus 130, plus 165 on Leicester. Leicester's just, they had a really nice win against Spurs last week, a surprise win. And Spurs is just all over the place. We talk about how inconsistently bad they are. I like Everton here. They're the more business-like team here. Leicester very sloppy. And I don't know. I think Everton is turning the corner with David Moyes now back as a manager. Four of the last six in this series have been draws. So pretty tight game. Perhaps a draw or Everton would be the way to go. Aston Villa at Wolves also on a Saturday. Villa plus 110, plus 240 on Wolves. Wolves just impossible to figure out. Aston Villa playing a very important Champions League match right here, so they may be a little bit exhausted. That's why I'm going to go with the under in this matchup. Under 3 or 3.5, you can find out there. Home team has points in 6 straight in this series. That would be Wolves. Wolves tend to play the close scoring, low scoring games at home, but that's not been the case as much this year. So this game worries me a tad, but I am going to still go with the under. I think Aston Villa, they're very buttoned up, and I think that they'll be thinking that we can just get one and get on to the next week of games. Brighton at Nottingham Forest. Brighton plus 185. Nottingham plus 145, a home favorite here, which is a little bit interesting there. I thought that number was a little strange. I'm going to go with both teams to score in this game. I think both teams will score. Should be a pretty even contest. Thought Brighton, maybe a little bit of value on them at plus 175. Nottingham Forest, though, is pretty strong at home. And the last four at Forest have went over 2.5. So we're going to go over 2.5 goals there, as well as Lille is about to finish off Feyenoord up the 4-1 there. And that one, Sunday matchups in the Premier League, Crystal Palace at Manchester United. United plus 105, Palace plus 255. Crystal Palace have points in the last three matchups against United. Palace, I think, is the play here. I'm going to go with Palace minus 140 to win or draw in this game. I also think both teams will score. I can see this game being like 2-1 Palace or 1-1. So we go with both teams to score and Crystal Palace to draw or win in that one. Manchester City at Arsenal. They're going to be a big weight off their back here. If they get the help they need and actually get through to the qualifying round, they are going to win right now. But can they get the help they need? That is the question. Arsenal, they don't have to worry at all. They got a gear down today anyway. So easy match for them. They're plus 105 favorites here. I'll take Arsenal. They're in the better form right now. I don't think they're in great form, but they're a little bit better than City. They're at home. I like this game. I like Arsenal in this game. The last two were draws between these two teams. So possibly an under here too, but haven't really figured that one out. Maybe under 3. Both teams to score, though. I can see this game being 1-1 for sure, and both teams being satisfied with it. Tottenham at Brentford, a big London derby here. Tottenham plus 220. They're the dog here. Brentford is the favorite at plus 110, 285 on the draw. We say it every week. You can't play any Tottenham games under. So get on the 3 now. Get on it quick, because these games, Tottenham last week, they lost to Leicester. I mean, they can lose to anybody. They can beat anybody. Brentford surprised us. They were a team we were on a lot. Their form had not been good, but they got a nice win last week. And Maybe they keep it going here. So we'll be back on Brentford at plus 110. We're going to go over three as they host Tottenham in London. West Ham and Chelsea, another London derby on Monday. West Ham haven't won at Stamford Bridge since 2019, so it's been a while. Last three have went over in this matchup. I like Chelsea minus the 1.25 on the Asian handicap. They are minus 270 on the money line. That's not a price that I want to pay, not with an inconsistent Chelsea team. West Ham has been really bad, though. They're not very good, and I think Chelsea could beat them. I was thinking about both teams to score, but I'm not certain West Ham will score. They're very bad. If Jared Bowen's not playing well for them, they really aren't very good at all. So we'll go with Chelsea in the London Derby on Monday. All right, let's reset the show here. It's Bettors Last Stand, show number 117, coming to you from the Watchdog Studios here in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for a weekend of action here on the Watchdog. All the usual suspects, Bear and Bob in the mornings. The Sports Huddle follows them. Bear and Bob at 8, Sports Huddle at 9 with Doc Georges as the host. Those guys always have an interesting panel of guests and talk about a lot of interesting local things going on in the sports world. In Mountaineer basketball, of course, this is your home for the girls and the guys in Mountaineer basketball. Both teams off to a good season, and we'll see how the Mountaineers come out of their big game against Houston the other night. So good stuff happening here on the Watchdog. Again, your home for high school sports. We'll have the OVAC games here, girls and boys, here on the Watchdog Network for you, as those are right around the corner in OVAC basketball. Hard to believe we're in the home stretch there. All right, back to business here. Again, we were up 25.2 units last week. Had the nice 33-1 in tennis with Sabalenka and Keys, 5-6-1 in the NFL, but we're on a 48-35-1 run in the NFL, 57% EPL run right now, 61-36-2 over the last month at 62%, up 47.2 units. So very happy about that. And Juventus about to take a bad loss. Man, I say it often, I can never get these Portuguese teams right in this soccer. My goodness. Whatever happens in Portuguese football, I can never figure it out. Aussie Open, we were 10-10 on our future plays, but the ROI was really good, 33.45 units. And let's get into the game. Let's just go ahead and jump right into the Super Bowl here. We got a few things left. Let me remind you, though, we got NASCAR right around the corner. F1's coming up. IndyCar. We'll be back with racing here before too long. Mid-February is when Daytona starts. We'll have the dual races coming up. So good things on the horizon here for us as we wind down on football. We get March Madness. We get racing. We get golf. The golf fields continue to get better. So we're excited about that. Plenty of action. BLS underscore PRP is where you want to be to follow all this stuff, even the stuff that we can't get onto the show in a timely manner. So I went through this. I like to do this exercise every single year when it comes to the Super Bowl. I break down the positions, the coaches, all that stuff. Where do they stack up? Who has the advantage? And then that will then lead me to where I need to go to figure out who I'm going to bet in this game. And while it is a little early, it's not too early. If you have a strong opinion and you want to pull the trigger, then it's never too early. Like, you don't want to – like, I'm waiting on the Chiefs because I think that maybe you see some Eagle money, maybe that game goes down to one or a pick or something like that. So, obviously, they're going to be a tie, so you're going to have a half here. But I'm waiting a little bit, and I'm also going to wait on the under. If you're going to be an under bettor in a game like this, it's going to have a zillion dollars bet into it, and or what was the figure, the true figure? $1.5 billion is what's estimated to be bet legally in the United States. If you're going to do that and you're an under bettor, everybody in the world wants this game to go over because it's exciting. So that's why I'll probably be betting an under. But 49.5, that may creep to 50, might go to 51. People are going to start coming into this market on next Tuesday, Wednesday, as they get ready for the game, whether they're driving across state lines to make the bets and coming back. And you're going to see these lines start to change a tad, I think. They may end up going back as little scores again, 6 goals. They may be doing something on goal differential to get them further up the table here. Wow, astounding performance there. But if you're lying under better, or if you're the perceived dog and you are expecting money to come in on the favorite, you may want to wait a little bit. So I know everybody has the thought that the Chiefs are going to lose this game. I've not heard one person say that Kansas City has a prayer in this game. I've listened to 50 different opinions on multiple networks, betting networks, networks that focus just on the football side of things, whether they're just making picks, people picking against the spread, people picking without it, which in this case is a 1 point, 1.5 spread, so it may not even come into play, probably won't. But I've not heard anybody give the Chiefs a prayer in this game, and I'm surprised at that. But that makes me very, very happy. And I've also heard every person that I've heard so far give an opinion on the total has is betting the game over. So right now my positions are Kansas City and under in this game. I like the game under for the first half. But let's go through the breakdown of what I did here to kind of I think it just makes it easier. I think it gives you an idea of where you're at, maybe things that you didn't think about, and you get all the data in front of you, and then you make your decision. But first, let me recap the games last week. As I said before, I don't think the Chiefs are benefiting from all these calls like everybody is. I really, truly don't. They're a good team. They're in a position to win all these games, and that's because they're good. They have the best quarterback who's in the league right now. He could be the best ever. He's on his way. He's in the mix. It's a two-horse race right now, and he's closing it down on Brady a tad. I'm not saying he's there yet. But he's working his way there. And you got Andy Reid, who's the best active coach, no doubt about it. And, again, one of the better coaches. Is he as good as Belichick all the time? I don't know. But you're starting to say maybe he's in the mix again. But the Chiefs are just better than these teams. They operate better. They know what they're doing in the key situations. Spagnuolo dials up the right calls on a third or fourth down every single big game. He did it again against Buffalo. It's just inevitable. These guys are just so good. This three-headed monster, wherever you want to put Kelsey in there, Mahomes and Kelsey, that hookup with Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, is as good as you're going to find. And they got solid kicking, which I'm going to go through that and all the strengths. But this team just knows how to win. They don't get easily upset or flustered. If they're down, they don't care. They just stick to business, and they're so professional. And I give them a lot of credit. They don't take silly penalties. They don't turn the ball over. It's just refreshing. It reminds you so much of New England and their running. Even if you didn't like them, if you hated them, you have to respect it. You got to take a step back and say, I got to respect this. This is really unprecedented. And that's what it is. So in that game against Buffalo, they're good. Josh Allen, to me, is MVP of the league this year. But Patrick Mahomes is about as valuable as it gets, too. I think the Chiefs probably would win about six games if they didn't have Mahomes. Say they had Carson Wentz as their quarterback. I think Andy Reid, with their defense that they have, they probably win about six games. But Buffalo, without Josh Allen, I think would win one or two games. I think that's how bad their roster is. I think Buffalo needs a little bit more. They got to help him out. He's not quite Mahomes. Mahomes doesn't need all-world receivers every which way. Josh Allen needs a little bit more help. I'm not a Dalton Kincaid guy. I think he's been a bust. I think Dawson Knox was a bust. Shakir, okay, Coleman. And they look both like their ceiling is going to be a number two. And that's stretching it. They might be number threes. So I don't really think he's got a lot of great players. I don't think James Cook's very good either. I don't think he's anywhere near as good as his brother Dalvin in his prime. But again, I've never been high on him. So I think Buffalo's a team that really doesn't have all that great of a roster. And I think that Josh Allen is single-handedly keeping them in these games. So in the second game, Kansas City, to me, was just better, just a little bit better than Buffalo, and it's as simple as that. In the first game, though, the Eagles, a 55-23 win over the Redskins, to me, incredibly misleading game. Incredibly misleading game. 18-play drive started off. They can't finish it with a touchdown for Washington. It was an 11-point game going into the fourth or early in the fourth quarter. And the Eagles were aided by four horrendous turnovers by Washington. Again, the Eagles made the play, so this is not discrediting them at all. But I just want people to realize that score was not indicative. And it actually works in my favor because I was going to be on the Chiefs probably regardless in this game, especially when the number came out what it is. So it actually benefits people who are betting the Chiefs that they won this big because a lot of people probably didn't watch the full game or maybe they don't understand how things are. They just say simply, oh, 55-23, they're just that much better. The Eagles are playing great. Kansas City only won by three. I'm taking the Eagles. If everybody was that simple-minded, it would be easy to be on the other side, that's for sure. But the four Horbert turnovers that the Redskins had led to 28 points directly. 28 points. You take that away, 27-23 final. I mean, I'm not saying that they wouldn't have scored, but maybe the Redskins get points on those drives. They turn it over. So it could have been a lot different of a game. The Deami Brown, trying to get yards, doesn't tuck it away. Then McNichols fumbles a kickoff right after they score off of the first turnover. Then Eckler, the veteran, fumbles trying to gain yardage. And then Daniels, when he was kind of up against it, needing to try to score, and he threw as a bad pick. But Washington had three terrible trips into the red zone where they had to settle for field goals. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Philadelphia here. I'm just trying to get you to understand, when you're going into these games and you're going to try to bet them, you need to be objective as you can if you actually want to try to make money, because you can capitalize off of the public sentiment. And the public sentiment in this game so far is Philadelphia and over. Now, will that be wrong? I don't know. Sometimes it's right. But more often than not, over the last few years, the Super Bowl, the public hasn't got it right, at least in the market that I operate in. A couple times it has been that way, and we've been the exception to the rule, especially when the New England Patriots were in there, and everyone in this area who, similar to the Chiefs now, had Patriot fatigue, especially the Steeler fans, and they came in there betting against Tom Brady on purpose just because they wanted him to lose. And just because you wanted it to happen doesn't mean it did, and it didn't. And if you remember that game against the Rams, Brady's last Super Bowl for the Patriots, everybody, at most books, legal books in the United States, needed New England in that game. Needed the Rams in that game. And we were the exception. We needed New England. Everybody had the Rams. And when New England won that game, we were probably one of the few books in America, if not maybe the only couple, our West Virginia properties, that actually won on that game, if you can believe that. So that was a New England and under game, and it was a really, really good winner. So sometimes the public will get you, other times they won't. And I would say that based on the performances of sportsbooks and casinos over the last couple hundred years, I would say that the books get the better of the people most of the time. So with that in mind, I went through the two teams. I broke them down by position, and I try to do this as objective as possible. Coach, to me, this was a standout runaway. This would be scored 5-0 if I was going to do this as a I did it basically scale of 5 being the highest, 0 in each category. I have the Chiefs outscoring the Eagles 5-0 in the coaching area. So a big check mark for the Eagle or the Chiefs in the coaching department. As Andy Reid faces his former team for the second time in 3 years. Quarterback, again, a 5-star advantage to Kansas City. Jalen Hurts is not a bad player. Is he great? No. Can he run an offense? Yeah. Did he play great last week? No, I think he was good. But Patrick Mahomes is an all-time great. He has the clutch gene. If you remember the Super Bowl last time, Hurts did not have he had a good statistical game, but he made a couple of key mistakes, and I think that could happen again. So we give the Chiefs a unanimous 5-0 sweep in the quarterback. We'll give the Eagles a running back, the same 5-0. Barkley's the best running back in the league right now, probably followed by Jahmyr Gibbs second. So we'll give a 5-0 to Philly in that one. We'll give the receivers to Philly, too. We'll give those 5-0 because Kansas City, let's be honest, they have a patchwork receiving core for sure. And A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, although they only have two real receivers, they are very, very good. So right now it would be 2-2. We got coach and quarterback in the column for Kansas City. We have running back and wide receivers in the column for Philadelphia. Tight end goes to Kansas City without a doubt. Kelce, the best tight end in the history of football, statistically and in the biggest games, and he continues to perform at a high level. He was a little quiet last week. I would not expect that to happen in the Super Bowl. Offensive tackles, we'll give the tackles to the Eagles for sure. They definitely protect a little bit better on the edge than the Chiefs, so tackles go to the Eagles. Guards, I think, is pretty tight, but it's a narrow one for the Eagles there. I think that one would be like a 3-2 right there at the guard spot. Center is Creed Humphrey. He's the best there is. He's taken over for Jason Kelce for the Eagles as the best center in the league. Creed Humphrey is good as it gets for the Chiefs. He, without a doubt, has the advantage in the center department. Special teams, without a doubt, it is all Kansas City here. The kicking game is better. They have a better kicker. They have a better punter. Jake Elliott right now, a mental mess, and he's had all kinds of problems converting kicks. So no confidence in the Philadelphia special teams at all. Defensive line. Now, this one was a little bit tricky because, I mean, Carter's really good for the Eagles. Jordan Davis. I mean, they got some good players on Philadelphia. But I think when you have a guy like Chris Jones and you have an outside edge guy like Karloftis, to me, that sways it. And I give a small advantage to the defensive line side of things to the Chiefs. I know a lot of people would disagree with that, but I've watched these guys play in the biggest games, Jones and Karloftis, and they have a different level. We'll see. We'll see what Carter can do. He was exceptional against the Rams. Can they block him? And a lot of times he'll be going up against Creed Humphrey. So to me, that's a good matchup for the Chiefs. I know it's going to be a lot of double teams, but I like my chances that I can offset that, and I think that Chris Jones and Karloftis make the difference, so I give the defensive line to the Chiefs. I give the linebackers to the Chiefs. Nick Bolton, we've seen what he can do in the Super Bowl. This guy's been exceptional. We had him for Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago, and he had that second pick six called back, or he probably would have got it at like a 350-1 ticket that we had, and boy, I really would have loved to have seen that one come through. But Nick Bolton, massive big game player. He and N'Kobe Dean out for the Eagles. That's a big loss for them. So I give the advantage definitely to Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil. These guys are veterans. These guys fit Spagnuolo's defense perfectly. Big advantage there. Cornerback is about a push. The Chiefs have the best cornerback in Trent McDuffie, but the Eagles have Slay and a couple other guys that are all really, really good. So as a group, maybe Philly's better, but McDuffie can kind of neutralize at least one player on the other team by himself, so that helps. So I gave that one a push. I gave safety a push, too. I thought the Eagles had pretty good safeties, but Reed, to me, Justin Reed is a really good player. He showed up in the big games, makes big plays, can tackle. He can do everything. He can hit. So I thought that was a dead even one, too. So at the end of it, it came to me a 9-6 tally advantage in favor of the Chiefs in the game. That obviously is where I'm heading right now. Chiefs and under is what I'm looking at. Early Super Bowl MVP bets, we'll get to those in a minute. But I wanted to go through the schedule breakdown because I've heard a lot of people when they're making their case for the Eagles, they just run the Eagles are on. They're just crushing everybody. And my question is, okay, they didn't crush the Rams. They definitely didn't crush the Rams. The Rams probably had like five mistakes in that game. If they eliminated two of the five mistakes, they probably wouldn't have won the game. Maybe even one of the five mistakes. If they don't have the two critical fumbles, they missed a block on one play. They had a bad penalty on one play. One play, a guy couldn't get his feet down on a huge play up the sideline. So the Rams had a lot of bad plays in that game, and they still almost won. So I would not be celebrating that. To me, the Eagles are on the verge. They're a rocking boat to me. But let's just go through it here. The Eagles' best wins on the season. They beat the Redskins twice with a rookie quarterback who's very good. Redskins are a good team. They beat the Rams twice. One of the games, they beat them pretty easily. The playoff game could have easily been won by the Rams. They beat the Packers twice. I mean, you know, if you listen to Better's Last Stand, you know we are not high on the Packers at all. I don't think they're a very good team. They were lucky to even be in the playoffs. They were no threat to Philadelphia in any way. Bad losses for the Eagles. They lost to the Atlanta Falcons. And let me also remind you, they lost to Tampa Bay. And they only beat the New Orleans Saints by 3 points, a team that doesn't even have a coach right now. Fired their coach midseason. So I'm not seeing a whole lot there from their schedule. Best wins, Washington, L.A., and Green Bay each two times. Bad losses to Atlanta. And I guess I can't really say Tampa's a terrible loss because they were a playoff team. But a narrow win against New Orleans. I mean, they beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati's terrible. I don't know. To me, the Chiefs have much better wins. The Chiefs have wins over Baltimore, Buffalo, the Chargers two times, playoff team, the Texans two times, playoff team, Denver, a playoff team, and then the other game against Denver, they didn't play their starters, and they beat Tampa. So you look at those wins, and you put those victories up against the games that the Eagles won. I'm sorry, the Chiefs have a much better resume. I know everybody says they stink, and they're the luckiest 15-2 team ever, and maybe so. Maybe they are. But they beat Baltimore, Buffalo, the Chargers twice, the Texans twice, Denver once, and Tampa once. To me, that's a lot more impressive than Washington, the Rams, and Green Bay. And they have no bad losses. They lost to Buffalo at Buffalo, and they lost to Denver when they didn't play Mahomes or any of their other players. So to me, that makes a very strong case for the Chiefs. But again, I've not heard anybody I've not heard anybody really pick the Chiefs yet. I actually heard one, Will Hill on VSiN, I think was leaning towards the Chiefs. He's pretty grounded guy. I trust his thoughts, and he was kind of on the same page with me, I think. Super Bowl MVP favorites, obviously Patrick Mahomes at $1, even money for him. Barkley plus 250. Jalen Hurts at 3-1. I thought a few of these guys were interesting. The Chiefs have always had the ability to have a guy maybe be able to get behind the defense, maybe make a big play, dynamic. Even Mecole Hardman has played well in these games in big, big times. Maybe Xavier Worthy. He's 50-1. He's been coming on lately. He could take a reverse and go to the house. He could have a couple of big plays. He's fast enough and explosive enough. And then before there was Xavier Worthy, there was Hollywood Brown. He was that kind of guy. Now, he has not been very good. We've had him the last 2 weeks. He's not been as good as I've hoped for, but he's 90-1. Could he show back up here and turn back the clock a little bit and make some big explosive plays? I think at 90-1, I'd be willing to take a shot with that. George Karloftis, you heard me talk about him. This dude shows up in the biggest times. He had a half sack last year in the championship game or in the Super Bowl, had three quarterback hits, a couple of narrow strip sacks too. So Karloftis continues to get better. He's a big game player at 150-1. I love it. Nick Bolton 200-1. Now we had Nick Bolton at 350 a couple years ago. He had 13 tackles last year in the Super Bowl. He had 9 tackles and an interception for a touchdown, and the second one called back in the year before's Super Bowl. Nick Bolton is a big, big, big time player. 200-1, absolutely take a shot with him. And then the two kickers, I'm only going to play Butker because I don't trust Elliott, and I don't think the Eagles will win the game. So we go with Butker at 250-1. Also, I think Trent McDuffie. Maybe this is a low-scoring game, which I think it might be. McDuffie has a couple picks. Maybe he gets a pick six. 300-1, why not? He could definitely. And if he would shut down A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, which is going to be hard to do, but 300-1, I'll take a shot. Justin Reed at 500-1. He had 9 tackles last year in the Super Bowl and 7 tackles in 2023. Again, this guy's always around the ball, and he can make plays at 500-1. I'll take the shot. Drew Tranquil, similar to Nick Bolton without the athleticism. He's a very good reader of the game. He could step in, get a pick six. At 1,000-1, throw $5 on it. I mean, why not? I've seen weirder things happen, and I've had a lot of luck with these MVPs. I don't know how, but I've forecasted at least guys that were in the mix. We had Damian Williams a couple of years ago. He should have been the MVP. James White, the year that they came back and beat the Falcons, should have been him. He scored 3 times in that game, and I had a ticket on him. I had a Deion Branch way back from New England, which was a good one. But, yeah, there, you got to try to look against the grain in these games because sometimes – it's a guy from out of nowhere that comes up and plays big in these games, and you got to try to find it, no doubt. Some early best bets. Here we go. So I said I like the Chiefs in the under so far. No score in the first 5:59 of the game. I'm leaning towards that. Going with the under in the first half at 24.5. The Eagles' first drive, I'm going to go with a missed field goal. Why not? It's 25-1. That's what drew me to that. Why not? Eagles go down the field. Think they're going to get on the board. Spagnuolo draws up a nice blitz on a third down. Maybe he gets a sack or a, you know, tackle for loss. They lose a couple yards. They got a kick, and they send Jake Elliott out, and he hooks a 47-yarder. Why not? 25-1. I think it's a really good price on that. Most first downs in the game. I like Kansas City in this game. I think they'll have the lead late. I think they'll be milking the clock like Patrick Mahomes is so good at. I think they'll get the running game going. They'll get a little bit of passing, short passing game going, and they'll just grind out first downs and slowly, slowly wind that clock down. Everything can work for us. Chiefs win the game. Game stays under. Chiefs keep getting first downs as they're running the clock out. It all goes hand in hand. You got to think about what it, in your mind, how the game will go, and then you start to try to find the markets that'll satisfy that thought process. You got to look at it objectively. It's not about what you want. If I was going to say what I want in this game, I want the game to be 50-0 Chiefs in Mahomes pass for 10 touchdowns. No, well, it wouldn't be 50-0. I guess it'd be at least 60 if they would went for 2 and miss them. But, you know, that's what I like. I like to see Philly get shut out because I can't stand their fans in that city. But that's not what's going to happen. So you got to think about it from an objective point of view. Team with the longest drive in the game, time-wise. This is possessing the ball for the longest in one single time. I could see this one being in that one that closes out most first downs, running the clock down late. Chiefs hold it for the final 8 minutes of the game and run the clock out. That's in my mind is what could very well happen in this game. George Karloftis, 1+ sack at plus 110. Love that bet. Eagles allowing 2.8 sacks per game, just 12th in the NFL. So even that good offensive line can be had from time to time. Karloff is a big game player. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's been pretty good. He showed up in some of these games in the past. He showed up last week over 24.5 receiving yards at minus 110. I like that one. Hollywood Brown over 38.5 at minus 115. We're going to go with that one again. Samaje Perine, he got the job done for us on one catch last week. We need him to have two receptions this week at plus 185 or the next week, sorry, Super Bowl week. But I like Perine. Devontae Smith over 4.5 receptions. I think if you see McDuffie guarding Brown, then maybe Smith is freed up. He's had a couple of good games against the Chiefs in the past, so we'll go with him minus the 115. Harrison Butker, 2+ field goals made. I like this at minus 135. I even wouldn't talk you off of three plus field goals at plus 250. I think that's very doable. Butker to have at least 8 points in the game, minus 120. I love that bet. Justin Reed, 5+ tackles, minus 135. Again, I said Justin Reed had 9 tackles last year and 7 in the Super Bowl before that. 5+ at just minus 135. Good price there. Nick Bolton, 8+ tackles at minus 105. Nick Bolton had 13 tackles last year and 9 the Super Bowl before that. He's at 8 minus 105. So we're going to go with Nick Bolton, 8+ tackles. Chiefs scoring band. This is the range of which they'll score. I think they'll score between 21 and 30 points, and that is a plus 120. I can see this game being somewhere along the lines of a 27 to 19 type game, something like that. I don't know. I may, maybe 27, even 27-20, 27 17, maybe. I think the Chiefs get somewhere between 23 and 27 points, but I could see them getting as high as 30. So that's why we're going through 21 and 30 at a plus 120. So I think the Chiefs have at least 21 and between 21 and 30 points in the game. Kansas City come from behind and win. Now, this one also could be you could take a little bit of advantage of this. At plus 160, the Eagles go down and score on the first drive, which is very common in the NFL, these scripted drives. I mean, teams go down and score all the time. Now, I have them to miss a field goal on the first drive, so maybe what I needed to have happen, if I'm going for the sake of trying to figure out in my mind conceptually what could happen, is the Eagles go down, miss a field goal, Chiefs go three and out, Eagles come down, make a field goal, they lead in the game, then the Chiefs come back and, you know, storm the gates and pull away and win the game pretty easily. So I'll give you my official picks. I mean, most of this is going to be the same. We'll track some changes in scenario if people get sick or whatever. We'll also watch the numbers. But right now, leaning Chiefs, not leaning. I'm going to be on the Chiefs and then under in the game. But we'll wait on that under until it gets up, hopefully, into the 50 range, which I think it has a chance to do. And we'll see where we go from there. As always, follow us at BLS_PRP for our latest picks, all the things going on in the world of the, of the world of the Bettors Last Stand show, that is, here on the Watchdog Network in the Pine Room Studios. PineRoomStudios.com, check that out for all the latest things going on in the Pine Room Studios. You can check out our YouTube page for replays and videos of all of our podcasts and all of these shows, Bettors Last Stand. You can see the full versions of those, each and every one of them. And visit us at the Watchdog Network website too. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be for all your WVU hoops action as well as your high school basketball action here as we get ready for OVACs, which are right around the corner. Can always follow the Watchdog WV on X and keep up to date with the latest basketball schedules that we'll have here on the Watchdog Network from the Pine Room Studios as we broadcast those games each and every week here for you. And again, thanks to all of our listeners and thanks to the Watchdog group, everybody here from Kayleen and Rocky and Bob and Howard and Lola, everybody who's done such a great job bringing us into the fold, and we're glad to be a part of it, and happy to have Bettors Last Stand here with you. And we got some programming updates that'll be coming your way here in the future. We're going to revamp our regular Tuesday and Friday show here coming up. Going to have some different segments and some creative new things that Jub and the rest of us are trying to get together and iron out. We'll have that for you here in the coming days, but you can catch that every single Tuesday and Friday, at least for now, 12 to 3, because and during football Fridays, we usually move it a little bit later in the day, but we're not sure what'll become of that come the fall. But for now, it'll be Tuesdays and Fridays, 12 to 3, right here on the Watchdog Network. You can listen at watchdognetwork.com. That's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 117. We appreciate your feedback. I love the messages and the emails that we get from people from the show from time to time. I keep them anonymous. If you want to be talked about on the show, I'd be glad to do that. But if you have questions, if you have things that you want to talk about, feel free. Message us. Let us know what you want to cover here on Bettors Last Stand. If there's a particular betting angle that you want to dive into, if there's something that you're not sure about, you want to be taught about a certain sport or how to, you know, what the Asian handicap is or whatever. Anything that you want to talk about from a betting standpoint, we'll be happy to discuss here. We'll try to break it down in the easiest terms possible, get you to understand it. This is an ever-expanding game here, sports betting, and it changes every single day. I know people don't think I'm just saying that, but it truly does. And we are at the forefront of it continuing to grow and just emerge, and the sky is the limit. There are so many things that are coming down the pike here that are going to make this continue to be a very, very interesting form of entertainment. So, again, thanks for joining us here on Bettors Last Stand. If you have feedback that you want to provide on the Pine Room radio show, feel free. We'd love to talk about betting on there as well. You can give us a call, 304-214-1600 on the Frio and Stack Watchdog Hotline. Anytime we're on the air, and we'll be glad to discuss anything from a betting point of view. If you want to see us do picks in different ways or try different sports or avenues or things that you want. I don't do a whole lot of same game parlays here because they're just not very they're not very wise to play. But you know, we're trying to keep it here as your very, very best chance to succeed. And I think each and every week we seem to turn a positive ROI in most cases. And hopefully that's the way that you can get, you know, interested in the betting and continue to learn. Because like I tell my staff every day, you're going to learn something every single day here. Every day, no matter how good or how experienced or how many years you've been doing this or how many years you've worked in it, you're going to learn something just about every single day, something new that's coming to the table. So be aware, be open-minded, and be ready to pounce on the opportunity when it comes. That's going to do it for us here. Again, thanks for listening to the Bettors Last Stand show number 117 here on the Watchdog Network. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend, as I said. And we will be back here in the Watchdog Studios on Monday and Tuesday for the Pine Room Show. We'll talk Super Bowl, get the other guys' opinions, talk about predicted scores and other types of things. So tune in noon to 3 on Tuesday, especially as we have a good roundtable about what's going to go on. And then we'll finish it up on Friday with the final thoughts, final predictions, and get you ready for the big game a week from Sunday. Again, have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, stay warm, and we will see you next week on Bettors Last Stand here on the Watchdog Network. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday.